Switch it up. There we go. Got the right one. Hey, really quick, if somebody could help me, I have someone new coming for the first time, and they're calling me. So can anybody go to the atrium right quick, if they don't mind? Just, I'm so sorry. It's D. Sorry, as we're live. Sorry about that. It's just perfect timing. It was perfect timing. Had somebody new coming, which is awesome. This year, I was looking outside and look at everybody jump in and get ready to go. That's awesome. So thank you, guys. Don't you love technology? Isn't it great? High five two people and say technology. I don't know why else we're saying that, but there we go. Now, high five somebody else and say Jesus. You got to get three people in because that's just, it's a church thing to do. All right. So, hey, guys, today is the last week of this series called Ghost of Christmas Past. It's really awesome. Over these past 3 weeks, we've just been setting the stage for us dealing with some issues. The first week, we talked about forgiving those around us and the chains of unforgiveness and how if we carry those, a lot of times that can, here we go. Somebody's meeting them. Sorry. Technology. A lot of times if we have chains of unforgiveness, how that wrangles us in, and we've got to cut those chains. Because if we don't cut those chains, we can never really be free. And all that we do is if we don't forgive someone, then we're the ones that's left with the chains, right? And last week we had a lot of fun in the snow, right? Didn't we have some fun in the snow? Tough crowd. Okay. Laugh track. There we go. Laugh track. We're good. But we got to talk about the Grinch, and we got to talk about how our shame and the weight of our shame can cause us not to forgive ourselves, and how that can make us have a terrible Christmas season, right? The shame of our past, the shame and regret from everything that we're carried and the weight of that. So we started by forgiving others. Last week, we talked about forgiving ourselves. And so today, we're going to flip tables, get some cords. Tough crowd again. It's okay. Today we're going to talk about this thing called, do you hear what I hear? And a lot of you will be like, I hear you. Shut up. I know. You hear me. You hear me. But do you hear what I hear? And today we're going to set ourselves free from the last ghost of Christmas past. And we're going to be talking about the labels that we have in our life. So we've talked about forgiving others. We've talked about forgiving ourselves. And now we're in this position where we have these labels in our life. And so when I was getting ready for the message, you know I'm always going to start with a story because that's how your boy rolls. When I was getting ready for this message, I thought about this time of year. Brittany asked a great question during the welcome. She said, how many of us have got our Christmas shopping done? And one of us, Zach, who I'm sending my list to help me shop this week, has got it done. But most of the time, the reason that you're like, okay, Tyler, connect the dots, labels and Christmas, is when we go to the tree, don't we look at the gift labels? Don't we look at the tags to see who they're for? And this time of year, more than ever, we look for our label, like our name, like which gift is mine? Is it the biggest one? Is it the smallest one? Is it the one in the Tiffany box? Is it the one is this mine? Is it my stocking? Is it labeled correctly? Like this time of year, the labels of our life get amplified. And so as we're getting ready for that, and we look at these ghosts of Christmas past, and we look at where everything is, it makes me wonder, what have we labeled ourselves going into this season? Where are we at? Because the labels of our life matter, but where I see us getting stuck is this. Our labels can so much bring us down. So I wrote some things down about me, and I'm going to ask you to write it down about yourself. What are some labels that you have for yourself? Some might be good, some might be bad. For me, obviously, the label I have is Tyler, for gifts, Tyler. That's TYLER.WEST at thevine.tv. If you want to figure that out, Tyler is one. But here's some things that labels that describe me. Good, bad, and indifferent. Christian, Christ follower, founder and lead pastor of the Vine Church, forgiven, realtor, pastor, some would say a leader, a son, a brother, an uncle, a godfather, single, friend, at times smart, at times dumb, at times remarkable, at times unremarkable. But some of the labels that I have on me is my regular jeans fit like skinny jeans. That's the label that I have. Like, there are labels in our life that define us. And so what I would ask you is, when we wrap this thing up at the end, is what two words describe you, or what three-word label describes you? So two or three words, what describes you? And I'm sure we can look some up, and we can get real and talk about that right now. Like, we can get real and think about this season, about the labels we have. Because here's the thing. When someone writes Tyler on that gift tag, they're writing those labels about me as well and how they see me. And when I receive that gift and I look at that label, the labels that describe me are what I'm opening that gift with. But sometimes those labels aren't always the best, are they? Sometimes those labels we carry can bring shame, unforgiveness, hurt, regret, and sometimes can make us once again miss out on the peace and joy that this season brings, right? So today we're going to dive into that. And as we talk about that, it made me think of this saying that we all heard growing up. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but... wow. I heard it. I heard three people say it. That's awesome. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me, or will never hurt me. And how many of us can say that that's real? Is that true? Absolutely not. You see, so many times, though, we hear that. So many times we hear the labels say, you can be anything you want to be if you just don't listen to the people around you, or you just don't listen to the negative, or you just don't do that. And here's the thing that I'll tell you about words. Proverbs 18:21 says it so clearly, and it's a verse we often overlook, and it says this: the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it eat its fruit. The words you speak over your life, the words you speak, and the labels that you put on yourself and others matter. And what gets so crazy this time of year is those labels get magnified. And sometimes when they get magnified, man, we can't have joy, can we? We get stuck. So for the first time in our Christmas series, it's about darn time, right? It's about time. We're going to walk through the Christmas stories, the Christmas story, and the label that is found in the Christmas story. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. And if you're in your Bible, obviously, if we're starting with the Christmas story, we're going to be in Matthew 1, okay? Matthew 1, verses 18 through 24. Verse 18 through 24. So thumb there, watch on screen. If you need a Bible, we have some Bibles for you. We would love to give you if you need one. Because we're going to be reading out of this version, the NIV version. And we're going to start with verse 18. We're going to talk about this guy named Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary, Mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. If you've got your Bible, underline that. Faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David," if you've got your Bible, underline "son of David," "do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means "God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary as his wife. So before we move on and we talk about these labels, I told you to underline some things in your Bible. And that label Joseph, the first thing that labeled Joseph, before we go on to the points, are this. Like, he was faithful to the law. So imagine this. You've done right your whole life. You're a carpenter. You've begged God for the one, to come along. You've done everything by the law. You're not perfect, but you're righteous. You've done it right. And then they come up and say, I'm pregnant. And I know it's not yours. Like, think of that label. So Joseph's label was, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do? Like, oh my gosh, like, I'm righteous. I've got it all together. Like, I'm not perfect, but I'm righteous. Like, what in the world? What in the world is happening, right? So Joseph is standing there, and he's faithful to the law, and he's got to this place where he's got this label that he's faithful to the law. And so the second label that Joseph has, as we're in Matthew 1, is son of David. I told you to write that down. Joseph, son of David. So Joseph got a label of righteousness and royalty, and it's messed up by his relationship with Mary. Isn't that crazy? That label. He's got righteous and royalty. Son of David. Faithful to the law. By the way, your girlfriend's pregnant. Your fiance's pregnant, and it's not yours. Like, think of everything that Joseph has swirling around and the labels in his life that are completely about to change. The labels in his life that are stuck. The labels in his life that he knows are going to be struck out from his record. The good, gone. Because his girlfriend's pregnant. So what happens is, so many times when we're in our labels and we're in the seasons of labels, the labels of religion cause us to ignore God's promise. The labels of religion can cause us to ignore God's promise. So religiously, Joseph's got it together. Religiously, Mary has it together, but this angel of the Lord tells her that Jesus is about to be born. And she has to go to Joseph and say, I'm pregnant. A teenage girl, about to be married, named Mary, has to go to her fiance, who's done it all right. They've checked off all the boxes. All the labels they have are correct. They've sent out the invitation for the marriage. And she says, hey, I'm pregnant. So many times in life, that's where we can be stuck. Is in religion, we would walk away from that person and we would have nothing to do with her because obviously she's got it wrong. I don't care what she says. She can say that baby's from the Holy Spirit, but I know better. And Joseph was there too because he said, hey, I'm not going to be labeled as this guy. So quietly, I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to end this relationship because I would rather keep my righteousness and my royalty as my label than have a relationship with you. And an angel of the Lord comes. So here's where we are in the ghost of Christmas past and how we can get stuck with our labels. Is so many times in this time of year, our religion can cause us to miss out on God's promise. Like, I think of Joseph right here. He's stuck. Mary is stuck. They both would have this divorce on their record. Like, how many of us hear that word and we all cringe, right? Because the law of religion says that that's something we can't walk through. Come on, man. That's just religion. We know better. But yet, so many of us carry that label today and we're afraid. So many of us carry that label today and we have that ghost of Christmas past come creeping up on us. Because we're so worried about our righteousness and our royalty that we're going to miss God's promise. We're going to get stuck. And Joseph was there, and then the word of God came. The word of God came to him and said, hey, no, time out. You need to be with her. Did it make it easier? See, this is what I love about this story. I bet it was hard for both of them. Think about this. Joseph and Mary have to figure this out. And he says, yes, I'm committed to her. I'm going to make it happen. And right when they're like, yes, we're going to make it all happen, this guy named Caesar Augustus comes along and says, hey, we're going to count up all the Jews. So I need them all to go to this one place and count them all together. So Joseph's probably thinking, hey, we can make this work. Like, I've got this room at the back of the house. Like, you can hang out in there. And when the baby's born, we'll just be like somebody dropped it on the doorstep. Like, it's not ours. We'll figure it out. And then all of a sudden, they got to take a census. And he's got this woman who is pregnant that he's got to roll into Bethlehem with to be counted. So the righteous royalty that he has, now everybody knows. Unlike today where Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, social media, everybody knows anyway. Everybody knows before you know, right? Like, before you know anything's happened, everybody else knows. Like, Joseph now literally has to go and all of his friends and family know. If he was stuck in religion, he would miss out on God's promise. And I wonder how many of us today have the labels of religion on ourselves, have the labels of religion on others, that we're missing out on God's promise of blessing, joy, and peace in this season because we're so worried about our righteousness and our royalty. The next thing as we go along is we want to look at the labels in this Christmas story. In this Christmas story, as I'm going to make you flip to Luke. I'm sorry, Luke 2. Then we're going to go back to Matthew, I promise. But Luke 2. Luke 2, and this is going to take a minute, okay? So this is the one, and I just want you to imagine here with me, okay? So I was Linus growing up, so I had a security blanket. So just imagine I'm Charlie Brown, and I'm little Linus reading you this story because you've heard it in Luke 2. We're going to start in verse 8, and it says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all the people.'" If you've got your Bible, write up in it, circle, underline, all the people. Remember that. "Today in the town of David," underline that, "a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom favor rest." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Y'all, this is crazy. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So we started off with talking about Joseph and religion and how he's stuck and how he has to go to this city and all his friends and family know. And all of a sudden, now we're going to talk about these guys named shepherds, right? These guys that are shepherds. And I'm thinking Joseph still, once again, he's like, okay, all my friends and family know, but we're going to say we picked up this baby in Bethlehem. Like, he's probably thinking of all the excuses he can think of. Okay, we got to hang out in a manger in a cave. All right. So the baby was there when we got there. So the stork dropped him off. So we just picked him up, and we're going to take this out. And now all of a sudden, these shepherds know. And they tell everybody else all about what's happening in Mary and Joseph's life. We have those friends block them on Facebook. Like, everybody knows their business now. Everybody does. But let's look at the labels that were on these shepherds. Because here's the thing, the labels of our past cause us to struggle in the present. The labels of our past can cause us to struggle in the present. If you're taking notes, and this is what I'm going to talk about, these shepherds. The labels of our past cause us to struggle in the present. These shepherds are nomads. They have no home. They keep sheep. They probably smell pretty bad. They're looked at dregs of society. They probably can't read or write. So in the world today, what does that look like? We don't really want anything to do with those people, right? We think, oh, poor them. They're looked upon like they need help all the time. They're looked upon like, who are they? They have no standing in society because they have no home. They roll around. And the language they speak is, bah. You're welcome. Just make sure you're alive. The language they speak is with each other. And so They've heard the stories of how faithful God is. They've heard of this man named David. They've heard of this promise named the Messiah. They've heard of people who maybe talked to angels, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, an angel appears. And the first thing he says is, don't be afraid. And I know everybody always says, well, angels must look a certain way and all this crazy stuff. But I'm going to be real with you. If anybody bothers me in the middle of the night, I'm probably going to be afraid because I'm ready to do something. Like, it's fight or flight. I'm going to pick up a baseball bat. Something's going to happen. Like, I'm checking the water. I'm making sure I didn't drink something or eat something crazy. Like, something's going on. And so I'm probably thinking these shepherds are there and they're trembling. And then they hear this thing that is going to change all of the people, not just them, all of the people. So I think about this, and the labels that were on these shepherds as they're there at night, and I look at the Word of God once again talking to someone whose label was different, whose label had changed. Like, these shepherds are rock stars. Like, they're people, they've got a million Twitter followers when they walk in the room. Like, they're ready to go. Like, they should, hey, you should listen to what this angel told me. And they're like, who's this shepherd talking to me? And then all of a sudden, the religious people and the smart people and the people who know that the Messiah is coming, they're like rock star status. They've got the shades on, you know, they got that cool emoji, whatever that is, rock star eyes, do your thing. Like, they've got all that going on. And yet, if they were stuck in this label of their past, they would have never moved. They would have stayed in the field and said, oh, cool, an angel came. Well, I hope this guy saves all people because he ain't done nothing for me yet. It's just a baby. What good can he do? Can we say that we've been stuck there with that label so many times? That God's promise is so small that, or is so big, one of the two extremes, that we don't want to move? That we want to stay stuck where we are because our label is, hey, I got it together. I'm good. I got a good life. I'm rolling around with these sheep. They're nice to me. They're pretty dumb. I have to watch out for lions and bears, you know. I can't leave these sheep. It's more important that I stay with these sheep than go and see this baby in a cave. Like, what in the world? Yeah, I saw an angel. It was probably just a dream. Nobody's going to believe me when I tell them that the Messiah is coming. Nobody's going to believe what I say because of the label that I have on my life. How many of us stay silent because of the labels that others have put on us? How many of us stay silent because of the labels we put on ourselves? How many of us are stuck there? That's what we have to dig through and go through today. So I'm looking at all of this, and I see that all of a sudden, what I love that the shepherds have this time of year, because they didn't get stuck in the label of their past. I told you to underline something in your Bible. All the people, the homeless and the ones without a family, now have somewhere to go home. They now have a family from this baby. Because to them, this baby was from the lineage of David. These shepherds weren't of that lineage. They're trying to figure out, hey, I'm from a different tribe of Israel. And so I don't know what this is about. But instead, that label of being through the tribe of David, because they weren't, if they were stuck in the label of their past, they would have been like, I can't be blessed. What do you mean? And all of a sudden, an angel says, all people are going to be blessed through this. And this time of the year, the reason that that matters is, I wonder if some of us can get stuck from our past and the labels we've picked up in our past from sharing the hope and joy of Jesus with our friends and family, because we think, God, they knew then. If they just knew what I'm doing. God, hey, they knew the parties. They knew the drugs. They knew the alcohol. They knew the lies. They knew the deceit. They knew the debt. They knew the burden. They knew everything about me. I wonder how many of us carry that label of our past and forget what we talked about last week, that we've been forgiven and we've been pardoned, and yet we stay planted because of the labels of our past instead of hurriedly moving to see what God's called us to do and to reach who God's called us to reach. But I'm not going to be ignorant. Sometimes our labels keep us there, right? I described myself earlier, and I'm like, hey, well, sometimes my label, when I'm weak or when I do stupid things, that label of stupidity causes me not to want to talk to people, right? Because it's like, oh, here he goes, right? We get stuck there. I want to be remembered as that label of, man, he's such a smart dude. That dude's got it all together. And I want to tell you, I don't have it together. I'm just as broken as everyone else. I just get to come up here and my microphone works and Jesus speaks through me. That's it. I'm not that cool. I don't have this crazy awesome knowledge. All I know is Jesus is who he says he is, and I will not let the label of my past define me, but I'll stand up here and tell you all about Jesus and how he's worked in my life. But I know that Christmas, that label of your past, can make you be stuck. And I don't want that for us. So let's continue the story as we keep going. We're going to go back to Matthew. I'm giving you Bible sword drill practice today. Going back to Matthew. I'm about to make us do some stretches here in a minute. I'm seeing we're just getting there. Back to Matthew. We got one more group of people we're going to talk about labels with, all right? We're back in Matthew. Back in Matthew. One more group of people. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Are y'all alive out there? We're good. Okay, y'all are alive. I should have made you tap somebody or do something crazy. We'll get there. We're going to talk about these guys named the Magi. So before we keep going, I want to ruin your nativity scene. And I'm going to ruin it from the verses I'm about to read. And I want to let you know that the wise men weren't at the manger, guys. I'm sorry. I know that that breaks your heart. And I know that makes you upset. But we've labeled them incorrectly. And I'm going to show you where here in just a second. That has nothing to do. That's the rabbit hole you can chase later. But verse 1 through 11 says this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where has the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw a star and it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the peoples, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet had written. But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd," remember who we just talked about, "my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." He's such a sweet guy, isn't he? He just wants to bring some gifts, right? After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the manger? No, house. They was in a house, y'all. I just want to let you know. Sorry, your nativity scene's ruined. Don't go home and throw it all away. Just move them a little bit farther away from it. Put some more shepherds in that manger scene, okay? When they were at the house, they saw the child was with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented it to him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another way, another route. I went on to verse 12, sorry there. By another route. So let me tell you about these guys, the Magi, and this guy named Herod, and the labels that they have on their life. Let me tell you, this is the point. The labels of others meant to stop us can strengthen us. The labels of others meant to stop us can strengthen us. So here we go. Here we go. So we've talked about the shepherds. We've talked about the labels of Mary and Joseph. Now we've got these guys named Magi. We're going to start there. So these were wise men from the East. Wise. They're also astrologers. Tell me God and science don't go together. They were astrologers. They looked for this star in the sign, and they said, "Hey, we're going to go find the Messiah." Now here's the thing that we don't know about the Magi. Maybe they were Jewish. Maybe they weren't. Maybe they just knew of God. Maybe they didn't know God. But they come to this guy named Herod, and they say, "Hey, we're homeless, searching for a home." Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like the shepherds? They were just as homeless as they were. They just had some money. So here's what I want to tell you. Whether you drive a Hootie or a Bentley, you're probably still looking for a home. And these Magi's are ready. They're looking for a home. And so they come to Herod. They come to the king to go find the next king. And they say, "Where has he been born?" And so Herod goes, and he gets all the smart people together and say, "Hey, where's this guy supposed to be born?" And they're like, "Hey, you remember that census where we brought all the Jews together and we counted them up? They're over in Bethlehem, just like the prophet said would happen." And all of a sudden, these Magi go about their way. And what's crazy to me that I love about them is they could have said when they got to the Messiah, yep, we're going to go tell Herod who it is because I work for Herod, not for God. They could have found a different way to worship God. They could have said scientifically, like they could have took blood samples and trying to create this DNA and this genome about who Jesus is and tested his lineage and ancestry.com, whatever you want to call it. Like they could have done their thing and did all of their science. But instead, they just trusted God by finding the light in the dark of the world and found the baby exactly where God said he would be. And he led them straight to it. But they didn't let the labels of them being rich or the labels of who Jesus is as a baby stop them from finding him. So many times, those labels that say, oh, you're a scientist, you can't trust God. Like, how can you say God is alive if you believe in science? We like drawing that, right? That label sometimes can cause us to miss out on finding God and who he is. And know that that label can sometimes actually strengthen us and say, hey, scientifically, God created the universe and he led me with his star to who Jesus is. Like, isn't that crazy? Yet they could have just stopped where they were. They could have said, we rich, we got it all together. I got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm handing it out like candy. Like, I'm making it rain, all of that right now. Like, I've got it together. I don't need anything. I don't need a Messiah. I don't need a Lord. I don't need anything. I've got everything I need right here. Why in the world would I need that? Because the world would say they're rich. They've got it together. Sometimes those labels can stop us from what can strengthen us. So we've got the Magi laid out. Let me tell you about this guy named Herod. So we hear of Herod a lot in the Bible. And if you know the story, this is Herod, and he is building a temple at the time. It's a very political place where he's at. It's kind of like the White House, all right? The temple at the time is like the White House, all right? It's a political place. It's not a place where you encounter the presence of God. It's a place where power and struggle exist. And he's calling all these people together, and he's not searching for Jesus to worship him. We know the story goes, he's actually trying to kill him because he's worried that, hey, I'm the king, and I have a son named Herod, whether you know this or not, we're going to dive into that, a son named Herod, and he's supposed to take the throne. And I'm part of the lineage of David, and I don't know why this Messiah is supposed to take my spot. So what do all power struggles do? They eliminate him. Let me eliminate him, and it'll work out. So the label that Herod was stuck with was the label of king. And now this other king has come along, so what happens? We talked about son of David, and we talked about these guys named David before, is when somebody threatens the kingdom, your label is to fight them. Your label is to not submit and surrender to what God's called you to do. Your label is to take them out, assassinate their character. I've got to look better than you. Like, that's the whole point of all of this. Like, that label can get you stuck. That's where Herod is. He's stuck in this label. So this guy named Herod, he has a son named Herod. That's the Herod you see when Jesus is brought to the cross, Herod of Antipas, not the Herod you read about here. He died about 4 AD. But what I want to tell you is his label, instead of strengthening him, made him weaker than ever. Made him weaker than ever. Because he's the king. God saved the king. God saved the queen, right? Like, come on. I'm the king. I've fought my whole life for this. But his label was threatened. So he told the guys that could stop that label, who knew where the baby was, hey, let me go find him. And so many times in our life, when I look at our labels, where I think that we can get stuck is this. It's found in Galatians 3:28 that we have to understand about the labels in our life. And it talks about what a label really, really is. So if you got your Bible, you want to go to Galatians 3:28. I'm getting there too. I'm with you. Or you can read it on the screen. Galatians 3:28 says this. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. Because the only label that matters is this. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. You see, the labels on our life have nothing to do with race, have nothing to do with gender, have nothing to do with religion, have nothing to do with circumstance. I've told you these stories and these guys in the Christmas story who have all of these labels on their life, But the only label that matters, the only label that matters, is if we are one in Christ Jesus or not. Because here's what I want you to know. A label may describe you, but your identity in Christ, that's what defines you. The difference in the Christmas story is the world put labels on the shepherds. Religion put labels on Mary and Joseph, right? And then we have the Magi, and the world puts a label on them. Herod lets the Jewish people, a people, put a label on him. A nation put a label on him. But what matters is whether they are in Christ or not. And so the question that I have for you today, as we're getting here, is this. I want you to know, sin, it doesn't care what race, religion, background, circumstance, anything you go from either. The one thing that sin and grace have in common is it doesn't know. It doesn't care what you look like. It doesn't care where you came from. The only thing that can label you is your identity in Christ or your identity in the world. That's it. That's the only label in your life that matters. But we get stuck in everything else. We get stuck in everything else swarming around us in this world. And here's what I want you to know. Because I know that this is a hard time of year. Some of you walked in today. Some of us walked in today. And maybe some things and some labels in our life had to do with religion. We were questioning, God, what if they find out? What if they know? Like, what if they know I don't have it all together? My Facebook profile isn't real. Like, what if they know that all those perfect pictures that I take, it took me 300 times to get the perfect family photo. It wasn't just one and done. Like, I made it look like what if they find out that I'm struggling with Jesus right now? Will they let me in? The labels of the world. So many of us come in today and we're like, man, if they see the car I drive, they're not going to want to. God, they're not going to let me in the door today. Like they're meeting in a gym. Like, the world says this is a gym, not a church. Like, are you kidding me? Like, are they meeting today? The labels of the world can have us stuck, and so many of us can walk in and think that exact same thing today. The world can say, man, I could be working today. Instead of working, I'm coming to church. God, like, I know you could have done more in this hour than I could have been hanging out with these people. And I could have made more in this hour than I ever could hanging out with these people. The labels of the world can be stuck. Or maybe we're struggling with this. Maybe it's just the labels of our past. Maybe you think, God, if they just knew about me. If they just knew. If they knew about the divorce. If they knew about the relationship. If they knew the disappointment in my life, they wouldn't let me in the doors. And I want to tell you, Jesus is standing at the door, and he's telling you, child, come home. Come in. Because I'm standing up here telling you right now, I definitely don't have it together. I'm just as broken as you are. There are days when I scream at the top of my lungs at God and say, why? And then there are days that he opens my eyes to see the why. But there are every one of us have to figure this out, is what is our label? Because the only way that I can see the why is if I'm labeled in Christ. And the only way that I'm labeled in Christ is if I have received the gift that only he can give. And this time of year where we get stuck is we get so stuck on the label of the gift under the tree that we miss the gift that God gave the world. And the label that and the gift that God gave the world has all of our names on it. Because the angel said, all people will be brought together. And that's the only label that matters. And where we get stuck in the world, religion will make us say, this people can have it, that people can have it, these folks can have it, those folks can have it. Our past will tell us, you'll never get it. You'll never deserve it. And guess what? None of us ever do. Nothing we can ever do can work our way to get this gift. It's just sitting under the tree. But we'll get close to it, and the label of our past will be like we can, we're just like right here, like we can almost touch it. And then we fall back down. The addiction comes back. The sin creeps back in. The friend that you thought was out of your life comes rolling back in. The divorce comes back up. the child comes back up, and we think, oh, I can't open it right now. I can't open it right now. Maybe your whole life you've heard you're not good enough. Maybe your whole life you've believed you're not good enough. And so you'll never go open the gift. And today what I want you to do is see that there's a gift labeled with your name on it. And some of us have opened that gift, but we've forgotten that that gift was never meant for only us to keep. It was always meant for us to share. And this time of the year, we can take the labels of our past and see that they don't matter, because our label says, in Christ. Our label says, forgiven. Our label says, pardoned. Our label says, we are whole. Our label says, peace and joy. Because Emmanuel is here. God is with us. And the rest of the world will open their gifts. And on December 26th, it's time to take the tree down and do it all again next year. But we get to open that gift every day. And so what I want us to see is this. What are the words that label you? Are you labeled in Christ? Are you labeled of the world? You can only be one or the other. Period. Can't be both. Can't be both. And I want you to know that if you can't say that you've been labeled in Christ, he's got two words for you. Welcome home. Come. I don't care what you've got. Come in this house. My doors are always open. Just like the rich magi could walk into the house and the poor shepherd could see who he was. His doors are always open for those who are willing to take a step to go see who he is. And so today, as we're getting ready to wrap up, I want you to know this. There's a way that you can say that, man, my label is in Christ, and I just don't know what to do this time of year. And I want to pray for you at the end of the service to say, do you hear what I hear? Do you hear Jesus say, you're forgiven? Do you hear him say, welcome home? Do you hear him say that? Because if you haven't in a long time, I want to open your eyes and ears to hear and see it again. Or maybe you say, I've never had this relationship with Jesus. I don't know what that looks like. I've never been able to be labeled in Jesus because I struggle. And once I get it cleaned up, I'll go see him. Once I'm good enough, I'll go see him. Once I've got it all out in the open, I'll be good. Because once everybody sees everything I've done, they're never going to label me in Christ. And I want to tell you, today's your day to end that. Today's your day to get the label. Today's your day to receive the gift. Today is your day. And so as we get ready here at the end of the message, I'm just going to ask every head to bow and every eye to close. And I'm just going to ask you to repeat after me for the benefit of those who are receiving the gift of salvation for the first time. These words, dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe I've been labeled in this world, but I want to be labeled in Christ. I receive by faith that you died on the cross for my sins, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but left an empty tomb so that I may have life. Teach me how to follow you. Step by step, the best way I know how, the rest of my life. And for everyone with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you and it's the first time that you can say that you've truly received the gift with a label to be in Christ, I'm going to count to three. And I want you to know that you are welcome home, that Jesus is calling you home. And I want to celebrate with you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to beg you to raise your hand. One, two, three. If that's you, if that's you, I'm just going to beg you to raise your hand, and I'm going to beg you to talk with me after the service, because I want to celebrate with you. It's not anything you've done or anything I've done. It's by you having faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And for the rest of us, I want to pray over you, and then we're going to lose our mind in worship and celebrate Jesus saying, come home, welcome home. And then we're going to go about and spread the peace and joy that only this season can bring. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, Jesus, I'm begging you to please, please be with each and every one of us. Let us not be defined by our labels, God, but let us only be defined by the label that you give us, and that is child of God. Let us not be in this world, because this time of the year, the world is worried about gifts, but Jesus, you've given the best gift. Let us receive it today. Let us live it, and let us show the world the light and the darkness. You allow us to be a star that points others to you, and let us not forget that this year. Jesus, let us shed the labels of our past. Let us not walk out these doors without realizing who we are labeled in. And our label is only identified in you, in Christ. We love you, Jesus. It's in your wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen.